Each of you have hopefully received a piece of paper and a pen. I'd like you to take a couple minutes here and write down everything that you need that you don't have. Everything you need but don't have. Okay, sorry. You're probably not finished, but I'll let you. We'll go on. In many ways, we are very needy people. I've only got to watch the TV for a few minutes to find out all the things that I need that I don't have. I need a new car with all the fancy bells and whistles. I need right clothes to impress people. I need the right peanut butter for my kids. I need the right cologne to attract the ladies. I need the right occupation or profession to show people how important I am. And many of us will remember when the ladies had to have the right cigarette to show how far they have come. We need things. We need things to look better, feel better, and to be better. So, why do we need so much? It seems like we're very needy. We need a lot. But there are two things that we really need, neither of which is probably on anyone's list. Two things that I need more of in my life. Two things that are linked together. Sort of like two bookends or two sides of a coin. And it's hard to think of one without the other. What are those two things? I'm sure if I asked you, I'd get a lot of good answers. But the two things that I'm thinking of are contentment and gratitude. Contentment and gratitude, or maybe contentment and thanksgiving. It's hard to think of one without the other. If I'm content, then I'm thankful for what I have. And if I'm thankful for what I have, I'm content. Now, this is an interesting time of year. In a couple weeks, we're going to be gorging ourselves on turkey and trying to think of something to say that we're thankful for. And then just a few days later, we'll start writing to Santa Claus or talking to our family about all the things that we need, all the stuff that we want. Our thankfulness doesn't seem to last very long before we start focusing on our needs. Now, I'm ashamed to say that when I was a child, there were times when I would loudly insist and demand things that I needed to get for Christmas, and if I didn't get them, life would be terrible. I was a brat. And oftentimes, a few months later, those things that I absolutely needed to have would be neglected and gathering dust. But that was okay, because there was other things I really needed to make me happy, which in turn would eventually be forgotten. Now, admittedly, I might be thankful at the time, and if my mom prodded me, I would say thank you. But the gratitude didn't last all that long. Now, I'm sure that all of you were much better behaved than I was, but I'm certain that for each of us, we focus a lot more time and energy articulating what we need, what we want, than we do expressing thanks. Why aren't we thankful? Because we're not content. And we're not content because we're not thankful. So, which comes first? It's sort of like the old chicken versus the egg question. Which comes first? Contentment or gratitude? And I think neither comes first. I think they both come together from trusting God. Trusting God to meet my needs produces both contentment and gratitude. I'd like to look at the book of Philippians. So who wrote the book of Philippians? Paul. Where was he when he wrote it?
He wasn't in Philippi. He was writing to the Philippians.
Yeah, he was writing to the Philippians.
He was in prison.
Does anyone know which prison? Where? Rome. Right. Okay. Very good. And as Chris said, he was writing to the Christians there in Philippi. So, what happened to Paul when he was in Philippi earlier?
He got beat up.
He was arrested and beat up, and he was thrown in jail. Now, being in jail isn't all that much fun. And I'm sure that Paul didn't write to his friends in Jerusalem saying, "Here I am in jail in Philippi, I wish you were here." Probably not. I've been arrested a few times. I've been in jail here in the United States, which are comparably pretty much more humane, but it's still no fun being in jail. So let's read what Paul has to say about the situation he found himself in. Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord. Huh? What? That doesn't sound like what someone should be writing from a prison. Maybe I'm surviving, or I'm managing, or I'm trying to keep my spirits up and hope for the best. But Paul's letter to the church in Philippi is filled with words like joy and rejoice. In fact, the words joy and rejoice occur 16 times in this very short book. And as we pointed out, he's writing from prison in Rome. Let's go on and read verses 10 through 14. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Paul says here that he's learned to be content. It's not that he's a natural-born optimist, always hoping for the best, nor is he delusional, thinking that he's in the palace rather than in the prison. Rather, Paul is a realist who knows that he has troubles and hardships, but he's learned to be content in both good times and bad, not only when life is good, but also when life is hard. Not just when he has had visions of heaven, but during the times he describes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Yeah, it'd help if I'd get to right Corinthians. I'm in 1 Corinthians, not 2nd. My bookmark betrayed me. Starting with verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day on the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Pretty tough stuff. It's sort of like reading about Job. You know, you admire all they've gone through and glad that God hasn't asked you to go through that. But in all these circumstances, all of them, Paul has learned contentment. If we look back at the beginning of Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So here he's telling us to do everything with thanksgiving. If we go back a couple pages to Colossians 3, verse 17, he gives us some similar instructions. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And going a few pages more, the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, seems I've heard this somewhere before. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Giving thanks in all circumstances. Not necessarily giving thanks for the circumstances, but rather giving thanks even in and during all the circumstances. So how did Paul learn to be content? I think the answer is in Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. My God will meet or supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Paul is stating that God supplies all of my needs because God supplied all of Paul's needs. What? How is that? Didn't Paul need food when he was hungry? Didn't he need water when he was thirsty? Didn't he need to be rescued from his enemies? But wait. God did supply those needs for Paul. Maybe not immediately, but at the right time, and maybe not in the way he thought God would do it. Paul wanted to preach the gospel there in Rome, but he didn't know he was going to wind up there escorted as a prisoner of Rome. Now, we all like to quote Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. But while it's easy to say it, it's so much harder waiting for God to do it. Waiting for the right time is not easy. When I need something, I want it now. I was talking to someone this week who's been praying and waiting for God's healing for years. And the topic of God's timing came up. You know, a few weeks ago, Brandon talked about the healing of the lame man who sat at the temple gate for 40 years. And I thought, How many times had Jesus passed him by? How many times had the apostles walked by him? Why wasn't he healed by Jesus earlier? Why 40 years? Couldn't he have just been lame for a few years? In John's Gospel, in chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, Jesus' disciples ask why a man was born blind. And Jesus replied, "Neither this man nor his parents have sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." In other words, the man had spent his life blind so that God could be glorified by his healing. And we sit and think, wow, that's great that Jesus could heal this man who had been blind since birth. But when we're hurting, when I'm hurting, when I'm in need, we cringe at the thought of having to wait for God to intervene in our lives. We want to see it now, not sometime in the future. We don't want to wait a few days, much less years, to see God supply the need. But we're called to trust God, to be willing to accept his will with joy, with singing, with praise, like we had been talking in the songs this morning, praising God through the storm, in the times of trouble, praising him despite it not happening right now. We are to accept his will, knowing that he wants what is best for us, even when we don't understand it. And as I trust God more, I can, like Paul, learn to be content. And being content, I can be thankful for what I have rather than unhappy over what I don't have. Now, God didn't supply Paul's needs because he was a special apostle. Paul says that God will supply all your needs. In my devotions this week, I read a sentence about God's love for you. God's love for you is unconditional, unlimited, unwavering, undeserved, and unearned. His love for you never fails. His love for you never changes. His love for you never ends. I can't earn it, and I don't deserve it. God loves you because he chooses to love you. And he will never stop loving you. And he'll always supply your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And that's a lot. It's like the old song about God owning the cattle on a thousand hills. Yes, we're needy people, but we can trust God to supply all of our needs. My needs, not my wants. But because I know God is faithful, I can trust him. And because I trust him, I can be content. And because I'm content, I can be thankful for what I do have instead of being discontented and demanding what I don't have. I'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" This reminds us that God is with us and will never abandon us. And since he is with us, he will take care of all of our needs. Now I'd like you to take that piece of paper again, and I'd like you to write down some of the things you have to be thankful for. Hopefully you're not finished, but I'm going to move along. The Bills are playing football at 4 o'clock, so I want to be able to get home by then. If I have God, I have all I need. And for that, I will choose to be thankful and content. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you are all we need, that you supply everything that I need out of your love and your goodness and your riches in Christ Jesus. I thank you that in you I can rejoice and praise you even in the hard times, even in the difficult times, even when it's so hard to do so. But by you, I can do it because in Christ Jesus, I can do all things. We thank you and praise you and just help us to keep our focus on you. In Jesus' name, amen.